Hey, it's me again. Thanks for tuning in. I want to pick back up where we left off with the To Him Who Overcomes series, and we're going to talk about the fourth church, the Thyatira church. And this episode is going to be a little different than the ones before. So the last episode we talked about the teacher church, the Pergamos church, or the church in Pergamum, the Pergamum church in Pergamos. And I taught in that lesson, the first two episodes, so the prophet or the and the servant churches, the church in Ephesus and the church in Smyrna, I actually interceded and prayed and prophetically encouraged us. I want to read this entire passage over the Thyatira church, and it is actually titled and known as the corrupt church, according to Scripture. Revelation, starting in 2:18 from the New King James Version. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." Now, this verse used to confuse me, but I believe I got a better grasp of it. And I did a little, not intentional digging, but I ran across something and I said, oh, that kind of makes sense. I believe this verse is saying that the Thyatira church actually increased and grew in the things that Yeshua was commending them for, their works, love, service, faith, and patience. So from when they began it was weaker, but then they got a hold of themselves. So actually think of this as Paul's letter to the Corinthians. They were just wilding out. I mean, I imagine the Corinthians like the literal eccentric people of God, like bouncing off walls and backflips and probably even climbing up walls, all those things in the name of God. And what Paul did was brought order to that church. You see, a lot of us don't like that. This actually, what I'm saying now, ties into Thyatira. It ties into how we break corruption, and that's what Paul did for the Corinthians. You see, the Corinthians had all the gifts, they had all the spiritual aspects, the spiritual nature. Probably they in the Ephesus church, but more so even the Corinthians, they could get into the spirit quicker or more or fuller, if you will, than the other churches that were addressed by the apostles. And Paul was saying, you know how to do all these things for God, and you are advanced. And while every church that was addressed in a letter written to them had their own idiosyncrasies, I need us to pick this up because I've never actually heard anybody teach this, so you're welcome. Every letter written to the churches was written for their specific need and according to their design, because they all had designs. Romans, Ephesus, Galatia, Thessalonica, so on and so forth. And there were many more. They were written to the need of the people and according to the design. And the Corinthians had all the spiritual stuff down. They had the power, the supernatural, the outbreak and outbursts of Holy Spirit. In fact, it's talked about more in that letter, those letters, than the other letters, besides the Acts of the Apostles, which was not a letter. Now, there are other gifts listed in Ephesians and also in Romans, but it was the Corinthians who had the power, people. They didn't have the order or structure. And God said, I need you to have some order and structure, because what you are doing is not only causing chaos to run rampant in my house and in this land, and how people are viewing me, which is tarnishing my name and your own reputation. But you're doing just that. You are causing those who you're supposed to be bringing to me to fall and turn away further because you're demoralizing the entire culture. Your actual gift is to impact and increase and stabilize the culture. You're bringing it down lower than what it already is. And this is in my house. You see, that's why this church in Revelation, the Thyatira church, was called the corrupt church, because that's exactly what they were doing. Now that we got the background, we got the correlations and the connections, we got everything tied together, let's continue in verse 20, Revelation 2. Nevertheless, I have few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my prophets to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Now, those who commit adultery with her didn't necessarily mean that those who were not in the house of God. It meant that those who were willing to commit adultery with that false prophetess. And understand that Jezebel here is not the same Jezebel in the time of Elijah. Queen Jezebel, who was ruling with King Ahab. These are two different individuals, two different time frames, two different people, two totally different things. Now, I'm going to go back up to verse 20. I'm going to read that again. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So essentially what Yeshua is saying, you're allowing two things. You're allowing bastardization, which is the lowering of the standard or the demoralization of society, of the culture, really what it is. And two, you are not confronting wickedness and corruption. In fact, you're participating with it by being passive and also by being seduced by its seduction. Now, this is really important for us for two reasons, because I'm going to prophesy into the future. Thyatira is where we're going. That time, that's where we're going, and we're going to see that. In about 10 months. However, it's also important for us to know because we just don't understand how much we can be seduced by seduction. And understand that seduction in its basic form, its most simplest first definition, has nothing to do with sex. But it does have everything to do with sensuality. And sensuality, while it can mean sex, also is not the first definition of sex. It means an healthy appetite for the proclivities of humanity. Our human nature, our fleshly desires and appetites, the things that tickle our pickles, that cause our ears to itch and burn, that we so eagerly yearn for and desire in our hearts that have not been sanctified and given unto Yeshua to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Renewing of the mind. It is that. That's what seduction is. We have a lot of seductive teachings going on. We have a lot of seductive prophecies going on. Essentially, what Yeshua is saying is very similar to what he said to the third church or Pergamum. You are allowing heresy. Now, heresy is really bad, people. Heresy takes a lie further than what it is. Heresy brings lie, deception, and mockery into one, to where they're all deviated and inverted, and now it has become a standard way of thinking, to where you think black is white, wrong is right, and the sky is down instead of up. It is the lack of reality. It is the fantasy world. Do you need me to bring it even more to us, because it's very dark and twisted? It's mind control. And you see, we don't think that this stuff goes on with the people of God. let alone think that it goes on in the world. Now, I'm not going to meddle too far into that because, you know, we just won't do that. But we need to understand this. This is what seduction means, and that's what it's talking about. Being seduced away from the truth, from reality. And God does want us to live in reality, people. There is a place where faith and reality meet. In fact, I'm going to prophesy to us again in about 10 months. That is going to be the reality for us. We are going to need to understand faith and reality, and it's going to be one of the biggest struggles that we're going to ever face in that year, because there will be a lack of reality. But I'm releasing this now so we can curtail it and get ahead of it. You see, we need to understand prophecy in all its many facets. And this also ties into this episode, because Yeshua says this woman who calls herself a prophetess, Jezebel, she's a false prophetess. So she was falsely prophesying through seduction. And that seduction also led into bodily appetites being met, sexual morality, and then also eating of things that have been offered to idols. Now, I'm not going to delve too much into that because I don't want to get off track, but prophecy, staying on track with prophecy, is prophecy causes us to be successful, where we can redeem the past, we can bring what exists for us in the future according to our destined appointed time, where we are walking straight in alignment with God, into our presence. We can pull it in now. I talk about this in the last episode. That's what David did. It's one of the reasons why God loved David so much. I mean, of course, he was a man after his own heart. He loved him for that. But and David was a pursuer. He was an inquirer, all these things. But David knew how to literally bring heaven into earth and the best, extract the best of what God can do in earth, even in a fallen state that earth is in, the world is in. David brought the best into that time space. That is what God wants for us to do. And that is what prophecy does for us. So listen to me. When you hear this, you don't just take this and say, oh, that's cute, or oh, look at that young guy trying to say something or do something. And it doesn't even matter about anyone's age or if it's from me or whomever, because we do this often. We've been doing this for centuries and, excuse me, decades since I caught wind of it. We will allow a prophetic word to fall on us and we'll clap our hands and shout and say, yeah, but we will never pick it up and do anything with it. And God gives us prophecy so that we can be successful, and whatever is coming that the prophecy speaking of, we can get ahead of it. That's why he speaks through the mouths of his prophets first, people of God. You need to understand and hear that. That is not a trap. That is not me trying to get you into honoring man above honoring God. It is the word of God. Continuing with verse 23 in Revelation 2, I will kill her children, talking about Jezebel, with death, and all the churches shall know that I am the one who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. So you do those works of sexual morality and being led astray through seduction with the false prophetess Jezebel and eating of the idolized offerings. God is going to give you according to your works. But if you do those works at first that you, according to Yeshua, committed you for, you've improved and increased in the latter portion of your phase cycle in life, the love, the patience, and the works mentality. If you do these things, I'm also going to give you according to that. Revelation 24, now I say to you and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. You see, that's what seduction does. It causes us to know the depths of Satan, because that's what Satan is about control, people. That's what it is. Wherever you see control, you're seeing the hands of the religious structure and entity, but you're seeing the fingerprints and footprints of Satan. And Satan will enter in. Satan is domineering and controlling. There is nothing good about that being or entity. It is very scary. I want us to understand. how we, when and when we start to see control that way, we will get a new understanding of why we don't want to be controlled, why we definitely do not want to control anyone else. We definitely don't want to try to control God or finesse or finagle God. And we want to discern, distinguish reality from controlled. Verse 25, but hold fast to what you have till I come. Those things that you are doing well that I am commending you for, Yeshua said, hold fast to that. And also what you currently have. That's a word for us again. Now, I prophesied this for us in the future, and I'm saying it's for us now already. You need to hear the episode before and this episode back to back so you can get a clearer picture of how this all ties in together and makes sense about past, present, future, about now and the future. We need to pick this stuff up. Verse 26, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. You see, we talk about the nations, and I'm going to prophesy it out now because it's already written. We're going to the nations. I don't know how. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it sounds like. Things are lifting more with the pandemic and what things associated with the pandemic. However, there's still other suckers we're going to have to look out for. But the word of the Lord, I am speaking, we are going to the nations. And it's not going to look like what it looked like in past seasons, people. And then those of us who've gone before, it's not going to look like what you've even known. You see, I believe that God wants to use social media in such a way to impact the nations. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be real short about this because I want us to have a picture of it. In Wonder Woman, the movie part two, some of you might not watch stuff like that. I would encourage you to watch it because it's very prophetic, but I would never encourage you to do something that your conviction is against. So you take that up between Holy Spirit, but I would encourage you to watch it because it's very prophetic. But what winds up happening is the world becomes so technologically advanced that this relic that is demonic and ruled by a demonic god, man gets a hold of it and holds it close to his heart, and what it's doing is it's poisoning him and transforming him into a false prophet, a seductor, a seducer. That's exactly what we're talking about. To eventually the point that he's so pleased with what it's allowing him to accomplish, become, and do that he literally ingests the entire thing. He becomes the relic, or in our terms, he's possessed. So what eventually happens, and of course we know at the end of the day, Wonder Woman saves the day, but what eventually happens is he gets to this point to where he is televised across the nations, and he begins to say, all you have to do is just put your hands on the screen and speak out into the atmosphere, and I'm going to allow whatever you want, whatever is in your heart, to come to pass. This is exactly what was going on in Thyatira, people. That's what that looked like. If you need a picture, that's what it looked like. This is what's going on since 2020. This is why we need a sanctification and a renewal of the prophetic. It's why we need to get the people of God from that mentality that I need you to tell me things, and you need to understand that you have got to come out of naivety, and you have to put on a spirit of discernment and distinguishing, and you have to walk in wisdom, for the days are evil, redeeming the time. You have to see these things. But you know what breaks the power of that relic and depossesses the man? Reality. Truth. Because reality is truth. Do you see how all this is tied together? Pay attention. Now, let me say this again. Verse 26, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. We're going to the nations. You see, in this movie, the man wanted power over the entire world, the atmosphere, the nations, but it was evil and wicked. God saying, if you continue and you overcome that which is opposing you, that which can be a flip of the coin in your nature to seduce sexual morality, to lie, falsely prophesying is seduction, people, mind control and food offered to idols, but you hold fast to those works for which I'm commending you, you will have power over the nations. That is a word for us in the future. And it's a word for us to grab hold of now to begin to start practicing. So to those of us who need to learn to overcome these fleshly appetites through seduction, not understanding reality, not understanding discernment and discretion and wisdom, this is for you. Verse 27, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has ear to him, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. That's a word in and of itself. I don't need to go any deeper. You will overcome. Let the Spirit of God renew you. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Let the Spirit of God rest upon you. And all you do is persist and continue and hold fast. You will overcome. We will overcome. Now, let me say this over us. I pray in the name of Jesus that our discernment will increase, our level of wisdom will increase, and that our level of distinguishing, insight, revelation, knowledge will increase by Holy Spirit power. We will not be suspicious. We will not be detectives, but we will be fruit inspectors and we will be wise. We will be those people, according to Daniel 11, who will have divine intelligence, knowing what to do. Father, I thank you right now that you declared and opened up that this year is where the Spirit of understanding would be poured out. So I say from that decree, that annunciation that you proclaimed and professed and confessed this year, that your people, your sons and your daughters all across the world will have the Spirit of understanding poured out onto them. Understanding, come now. Come now and fall on the people. You understand that understanding is that the sons of Issachar had. They understood the times and seasons and knew how to be successful and how to cause everyone else to be successful. Is it any wonder that that's what Daniel talks about in chapter 11, but he calls it something differently? Selah.